WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Monday, May 23rd, 2016, we've got a great hour in store for all of you out there to start your week. On today's show, we will talk about the kick that Draymond Green delivered last night in the Western Conference Finals. Again, Golden State and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Draymond Green delivering a kick to the man section of Steven Adams. It's a kick that everyone's talking about because the big debate now is whether or not Draymond Green should sit out the following game in game four. Okay, so we will discuss that. Also, my oh my, what a difference a week makes. The Detroit Tigers are now winners of six of the last seven games. What is clicking right now for Brad Ausmus and his squad? We will talk about that. We will also invite for the first time to our show Taylor Rooks of the Big Ten Network, as she was actually at Saturday's Hoop for Water event out in Flint, Michigan, raising money for, of course, in combatant of the Flint water crisis. And Taylor got a chance to chat with Snoop Dogg and Sway and Mateen Cleaves and Morris Peterson, Tom Izzo. Very cool event. So Taylor will join us during the second half of the show. And on the back end of the show, we will chat about new details concerning, yes, Deflategate, and we'll finish it out with weekend winners. Our phone lines are open if you want to be a part of today's show. You know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's coming, baby. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, I first want to give a huge hats off and congratulations to Lakewood, who won the softball classic in the championship game against DeWitt Friday night at Rainey Park in Lansing. A 10-9 walk-off winner in the 14th inning. Sierra Stoker of Lakewood. Yeah, she was the individual who came up with the huge moment. A 10-9 victory for Lakewood. So congratulations to Sierra and her Lakewood team. Very cool stuff. What a moment. A walk-off winner in the softball championship game. That's pretty cool stuff. All right, Lansing United held its opener yesterday, playing to a 2-2 draw against the Michigan Stars. Cody Archibald scored in the 89th minute of the game to tie the game for the Stars. United drew out more than 600 fans to the East Lansing Soccer Complex Sunday. They are now 1-1 on the year. The next home game will take place on June 3rd versus Grand Rapids FC. The annual Dean Shipley Capital Diamond Classic gets started today with a pair of games at Cooley Law School Stadium, downtown Lansing. In the opener, CMAC rivals Bath and Portland St. Pat will meet at 5:30 p.m. St. John's and Fowlerville will meet in the 7:30 p.m. contest in what will be a rematch of last year's Diamond Classic semifinal. The number 2 ranked University of Michigan softball team registered a pair of early solo homers and broke out with a 4-run fifth inning to defeat number 23 Notre Dame 6-2 in the NCAA Regional Championship game yesterday afternoon in front of a crowd of a little over 2,000 people at Alumni Field. Now, the Wolverines will host Missouri, the winner of the Columbia Regional, in a best-of-3 NCAA Super Regional starting on Saturday, and also a matchup taking place on Sunday at Alumni Field. Michigan State sophomore Sarah Burnham shot a 2-over-par 74 in the third round of the NCAA Women's Golf Championships Sunday at the Eugene Country Club in Eugene, Oregon. She missed the cut by just 2 strokes. To advance to the fourth and final round, Burnham tied for 45th after 54 holes with a 4-over-220. Get this, though. Burnham closes the season out with the lowest scoring average, a 72.42 average in school history. The previous record was set back in the 2010-2011 season by Caroline Powers. And also, Burnham had 7 top 10 finishes. What a year to Sarah Burnham. That's unbelievable stuff, folks. All right, the Michigan State baseball team did enough in its 3-game series against Maryland to get into the Big Ten tournament, and now it knows who it will face. The Spartans, the number 7 seed, will square off against number 2 Nebraska at 2 p.m. on Wednesday in the second game of the tournament in Omaha, Nebraska. Michigan State comes into the tourney limping, having won just 1 of its past 6 games. The Detroit Tigers, though, on the other hand, are hot. That's right. The Tigers took the rubber match of their 3-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays on Sunday, winning for the 6th time in 7 games, but it came at a price. Miguel Cabrera and Jordan Zimmermann both left the game with injuries, but not until after an early outburst off Rays ace Chris Archer provided all the necessary run support in a 9-4 win at Comerica Park. Detroit welcomes the upstart Phillies to Comerica for a 3-game series beginning at 7:10 p.m. today. Mike Pelfrey, 0-4 on the year, makes his latest attempt at his first win as a Tiger opposite Vince Velasquez, who brings a 5-start unbeaten streak to town. Draymond Green is in danger of being suspended for Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals after he landed a kick straight to the groin of Thunder big man Steven Adams midway through Oklahoma City's 133-105 Game 3 dub. As Green drove to the basket, Adams fouled him under the rim, coming down from the shot attempt. As Green looked to be selling the foul to the refs, he caught Adams between the legs with a kick. We'll have more conversation on that story. And last but not least, yes, new details concerning Deflategate. Can't believe I'm reading another one, folks. The New England Patriots quarterback, Tom Brady, he will appeal today for a second hearing by the 2nd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in regard to his 4-game Deflategate suspension imposed by the National Football League. Now, the NFL Players Association attorney Theodore B. Olson told ABC News this morning in an interview that aired on Good Morning America that it plans to file the appeal later today. Goodness gracious, folks. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open. Please call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I, of course, will read it live here on our airwaves. Or you can even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Without further ado, let's start the show.
Shot like I try and kick somebody in the men's section. I'm sure he want to have kids one day. I'm not trying to end that on the basketball court. That don't make sense, you know. So I brought the ball over the top this way. He fouled me. My leg went up. I mean, I know my court not strong enough to stop my leg halfway from wherever it was going. Like, I didn't know I hit him. I walked to the 3-point line and shook, you know, clapped everybody's hand. I turned around, he's on the floor. I don't know how anyone could possibly say, you know, I did that on purpose.
Happened before, mate. It's pretty accurate. Yeah, mate, so, yeah, we'll see.
See, I think it's intentional. That's 2 times in the last 2 games. You know, I don't think you can't keep kicking somebody in, you know, in their private areas. But, you know, he probably said he didn't do it on purpose, but I think, the way I look at it, it looks intentional to me.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. That is how we start today's show. I am your host, Al Martin. Glad to be back in the saddle. And much thanks, big ups to Current Sports engineer Isaac Constance for filling in on Friday's show. From what I could listen to, Isaac definitely held it down. My man, really appreciated, dude. Fantastic job. Isaac's first go around at hosting the show. Of course, I was out of town, out of East Lansing, for one of my best friends, Tim Banks. That's right, Tim jumped the room this weekend. Congratulations to Tim and his lovely bride, Sabrina. It was weddings are always an emotional moment, but it was just really cool seeing one of my close friends. This is probably the first wedding I've been in where that I've actually been a part of. I was actually a groomsman for the first time. I've been to 4 weddings now. And the previous 3, I had just attended, right? I wasn't actually a part of the wedding party. But, you know, so Tim is the closest dude that I've, attended a wedding for. And, we went to college together here at Michigan State University, graduated the same year. And now Tim is a married man. You know, I'm hitting that age now, 25, where I feel like every time I go on my Facebook page, I'm either seeing someone getting engaged or married. And marriage season is here, folks. You know, while I was driving around the city of Detroit over the weekend, I saw a few more weddings other than Tim's, of course. So, but congratulations to Tim. It was a great weekend. I really hope you all out there had a fantastic weekend. The weather was beautiful. It was a beautiful time to be in Michigan, folks. Sun out, just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. I don't even think it rained at all. If it did, it might have been more when we all were in dreamland counting sheep, right? But, man, unbelievable weekend. I really hope you guys had a great one out there. We've got a fantastic show in store for all of you out there, folks. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, we'll be chatting with Taylor Rooks, Big Ten Network TV host, reporter, and correspondent. She actually attended the Hoop for Water charity game, and she, alongside Dave Refsing and Stephen Bardo, they were on hand to call the actual game while Taylor worked the sidelines and did interviews with guys like Mateen Cleaves and Mo Pete, Snoop Dogg, of course. So Taylor will join us around the 1:30 mark to recount what took place out in Flint for a good cause. We all know what that city has been going through in recent months, so you don't want to miss that chat. But I want to start today's show by, of course, in that montage, what you just heard was a few comments. You heard the actual game call on TNT last night of the kick that everyone is talking about. You know, we haven't talked this much about a kick since probably, what, Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon or something like that? It's absolutely crazy, right? To be honest, probably the last time we talked about a kick here on Current Sports, it was to the face of Ronda Rousey to knock her out, suffering her first loss in the world of UFC, where Holly Holm just delivered a huge blow right to the fighting world. Unbelievable stuff. But, this is a kick in a different matter, okay? This isn't UFC. This is the NBA. And we all know the NBA has become very soft over the years, and you get called for a foul just by looking at someone the wrong way in today's association, all right? But last night, the reason why this is so talked about, and the reason why you're hearing it on just about every sports talk show you listen to and tune into and every newspaper you read, and, the national correspondents are talking about it left and right. There's a local angle, of course, right here in Michigan with Draymond Green, seeing as though Draymond is a graduate of Michigan State University. He is an alumna. And, when looking at that moment, again, as it described in our headliners, you see Draymond Green in the paint. Green drives to the basket. Steven Adams of the Oklahoma City Thunder, he fouls Draymond Green. And then you see this a lot in the game of basketball with guys trying to draw additional contact and get a foul. You see a lot of arms flailing around and you see a lot of guys kick out their leg. And that's exactly what Draymond Green did. And Draymond's leg caught Adams right between the legs. And when you see it in real time, you didn't really know what had happened at first because, the way that it was shot on the game broadcast, you couldn't see the kick delivered. But then the replay shows that Draymond caught Adams right in his manhood. And, it was one of those moments I'm sitting there saying, okay, That looks pretty ugly. And they showed it again the second time. And I must say, folks, the big question is, was it intentional? I have to say yes. It was intentional. And there are a few components to this conversation because this is now the second time, second game in a row, in which Draymond Green has caught Steven Adams below the belt. It happened in game two, where Draymond Green was driving to the basket and his knee actually caught Adams on a running floater. So it's happened twice now, back-to-back games. I do think it was intentional, but it was intentional to the fact that Draymond Green was trying to draw some sort of physical contact to make sure, to ensure that he got the foul. I don't think Draymond intended to hurt him. I will say that. I don't think Draymond intentionally said, you know what? Okay, you're a little too close, dude. I'm about to take you out with a kick to that holy region. I don't think Draymond had that intent, but he did intentionally kick that leg out to draw additional contact, in my opinion. Here's where it gets really dicey with the conversation, because we all know that Draymond Green is the heart and soul of that Golden State Warrior squad. He is the straw that stirs that oh-so-good drink. And when he's absent, heck, you can even make an argument that Draymond Green is even more valuable than the league's most valuable player, and Steph Curry being gone. Because we saw Steph Curry. He was absent earlier in the NBA playoffs, and it really did nothing to affect that well-oiled machine. But Draymond Green, again, the heart and soul. This is a walking triple-double, okay? Without him, and taking in consideration that the Oklahoma City Thunder made slight work of Golden State last night, how surprising, even more surprising than the kick, was the end result of the game. At one point, Oklahoma City had a 40-point lead over Golden State. How mind-blowing is that? That's crazy to me. So all is not right with this Golden State Warrior squad right now. I don't know what it is. And, you know, in watching that game with the fam last night, OKC is getting pretty physical with Golden State, and I think that's kind of throwing them off. They're getting out on the fast break more. We all know how great Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, for that matter, how good they are when they get out and run. But, you know, so the end result was just it was a snoozer of a game because it was a complete blowout. So if you take Draymond Green away from this equation for game four, the Thunder have all the momentum in the series lead right now. What will that do for this series moving forward? That is going to be a huge blow. And if Draymond Green is suspended, and if Oklahoma City ends up taking the next game in game four and eventually winning the series, history will look at that moment, especially if the Thunder go on to win the NBA championship. History will look at that moment and say, you know what, that was the year in which Draymond Green got ejected. Do you remember what happened there? You know, we'll talk about that for years and years and years. And this being the squad, Golden State being the squad to break the Bulls' record of the 90s, 73 wins. This is a critical moment. The NBA has a lot of pressure right now weighing on its shoulders as to what they're going to do with Draymond Green. Suspend him, or maybe what, just fine him, or do nothing. What do you think? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. My opinion on the fact, as far as what the league should do concerning Draymond Green, hey, man, consistency is my favorite word. You have to stay consistent. And you don't have to rewind the clock far back in order to look at another prime example of the NBA inflicting a suspension and sending someone out for a low blow. Cleveland Cavaliers guard Dante Jones. He was suspended one game without pay for striking Toronto Raptors center Bismack Biyombo in the groin. And the incident occurred with, 17.6 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter of the Raptors' 99-84 win. So the waning moments of the game, Dante Jones does this and gets suspended for the following game. Now, as much as we want to ignore this, folks, you really can't. this is going to be an argument of status as well. And what I mean by that is, folks, Dante Jones, dude, rise to the bench, all right? He's no Draymond Green, nowhere close to what Draymond Green means to the Warriors, let alone the NBA, all right? He's not that guy for the Cavaliers. Draymond Green is a big name. He's an all-star. Again, he is the centerpiece of the NBA's quote-unquote best team and the quote-unquote best team in NBA history. If you take him away, you better believe that the Warriors are going to feel some sort of negative effect. You take Dante Jones away, it's not even a headline, all right? So there's going to be a conversation of status, but there shouldn't be a conversation of status when having this conversation. But you better believe it's going to be in the back of the minds of the NBA execs, whoever's making this decision, when they look at Draymond Green and his impact on the team and what it would mean for the Warriors, what it would possibly mean for the Warriors if they do take Draymond Green away from this squad. It shouldn't be a question of that, but I think it will, folks. But if you're going to suspend, if you really look at that play with Dante Jones, you know, and you could clearly see him just his arm goes out and hits Biombo, and Biombo immediately says, all right, I'm not feeling too good here. Ideally, the same play, just with Draymond's leg, if you ask me. If you suspend Dante Jones for that, in principle alone here, I think you have to suspend Draymond. And folks, fool me once, but fool me twice? Come on, dude. This is back-to-back games that Draymond Green has done this. Coincidence? I think not. Call in, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing well. And yeah, I think this is quite interesting dialogue to have because this changes the entire outlook of this series. Obviously, Draymond Green, he's one of the most valuable players in the NBA, actually finished in the top five for voting in the MVP race this year. So I think that when you look at this issue, I'm going to take a different view. I actually do think that you should look at the status of the player. Now, is that legally in the NBA's rule book the way to go? Of course not. But at the same time, nobody wants to see a series without their star players. With Dante Jones, yeah, you have to make your point. You have to say, that's unacceptable. We're suspending you a game without pay for that. Fine. But Draymond Green, fine him a bunch of money, sure, because I did think it was intentional. And of course, the guy, I love Draymond's explanation of the incident where he said, Adams. I'm not trying to make sure that guy has no kids. I wouldn't want that. It was a pretty funny explanation. But I don't totally buy the fact that he didn't do it intentionally. Of course the kickout was intentional. Nobody raises that leg that high. I'm not even that flexible to raise my leg that high. So Draymond Green, I think he planned that. I don't think he premeditated it or anything like that, but Adams is a chippy player. Draymond is a chippy player. They were getting into it, and I think that leg raise was intentional. I think he was trying to hit something. I don't know what.
Right, he was. And that's my point. When looking at it, you see it happen all the time in the NBA with guys flailing their legs out to try and get a foul or especially on three-pointers. I mean, how many times have we seen a guy who's, you know, who pump fakes, goes up, tries to draw some contact or even without even having that conversation with the pump fake, just seeing a guy shoot a three and stick out his leg to try and get some contact and possibly get a three-point play or go to the free throw line and shoot three free throws. I mean, we see it all the time. Reggie Miller was famous for it. And ironically, I believe Reggie was on the call last night.
Yeah,
so,
he was.
You know, it happens all the time in the NBA. Draymond Green wanted to make contact. I don't think he wanted to hit the dude between the legs. Just so happened that it happened that way, the way the play worked out. But again, for me, on principle, Isaac, because I have to disagree with you. If you look at status when having this conversation, that blurs the lines even furthermore when evaluating what's a call or what's not a call in today's league. Because how many times have we seen fouls called in the NBA and you're sitting there saying, really? Was that a foul? There's really no consistency when it comes to officiating in the NBA. Dante Jones is a prime example. It's a recent example in this year's playoffs that you can look to and say, all right, we gave that dude a one-game suspension for that. Equating that to Draymond's, I don't know how you can let the dude off. The only way you let him off is the only argument you can have for that is status alone.
Yeah, it is. And I think that should actually be considered in the playoffs. It's sad, but at the same time, you're competing for viewers. You're competing for my viewership as an NBA fan. And I don't want to watch a series where Draymond Green or a star player isn't playing because he's suspended retrospectively for one game. I'm totally cool watching any series, any game of basketball where Dante Jones isn't playing. To be honest, no offense, Dante.
Who cares?
Yeah, I couldn't care less.
Right, he's a bench rider.
Exactly.
I mean? Like, who cares?
But with Draymond, you do want to see him on the court, and the NBA has to take that into consideration. Now, for a regular season game, I think you've got to be consistent. For this, I think you have to consider the status.
No,
I do.
For me, Draymond Green is a basketball player just like Dante Jones. They go out there, they both have an NBA jersey on. Just because he's a better player should not that shouldn't weigh heavily at all when evaluating on this particular play whether or not Draymond Green should get suspended. And that's the problem that I have. From a morale standpoint and from a principal standpoint, the NBA would be doing a disservice to officiating.
They would
Simple
be.
As that.
And you're just
Simple
a more moral man than I am, I suppose.
I hear you.
I don't care about that. I just want to see a good game
of
basketball.
You're speaking from a fan perspective. Fans, if you're a Golden State Warriors fan, of course you're rooting for your guy. You know, you're hoping that Draymond Green is playing in game four. Okay, the Oklahoma City Thunder fans, you better believe that they are protesting probably outside of the NBA executive offices right now and hoping that Draymond Green gets suspended. So it's a catch-22. It's definitely a catch-22 here. And it will be now, I also want to say this as well. If Draymond Green does not play in game four and the Oklahoma City Thunder win that game, this is still the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors are not going to be out of this series. This isn't like game seven. You know what I mean? We're talking about game four here. Sit the dude one game, let him come back, especially if the Warriors, let's say the Warriors even pull out that game. Hey. No harm, no foul.
What about this, though? Game six, Draymond Green has the same play. The series is tied 3-3. Do you suspend him for game seven?
I don't care.
Okay.
For me, in my opinion, I don't care what game it is. It could be a game seven to follow in at all. But I'm just saying, to put that in perspective as well, it's not a game seven here. If fans want to make that argument, okay, if Draymond doesn't play in game four, we're doomed. Nah, dude, you're still in the series, man. You know what I mean? So, call in. I'm curious to hear what our callers think. 517-355-9527. I'm sorry, I cut you off. What's up?
No, you're good. I think the thing is, too, about this is it's not black and white. Although it's consistent with the Dante Jones ruling, I don't think that this is incontrovertibly a referee's decision that merits a one-game suspension. I don't think there's anything. It's not as if Draymond swung at the guy's head. It is still reviewable. It is still something which is up for debate. And I think that if you look at this, only two people know what Draymond Green was thinking. And that's Draymond Green and God. I mean, seriously, nobody else knows the intentions of Draymond Green on this play. I don't think you want that asterisk just in case he didn't do it on purpose. Because if he didn't, then that is not flagrant, too. That is not suspendable.
But it's impossible to have that conversation because Draymond Green, of course, is going to deny it, even if it wasn't. Say it was, he's going to deny it all left and right. But again, the way you weigh a decision like this is you look at what has happened and how similar calls have been and how similar punishments have been handed down for things similar. And Dante Jones, this whole situation between Jones and Biombo is the most recent example. So call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I also want to give mad props to the Detroit Tigers. Now, granted, they are playing two teams. When you look at this winning streak that they're on, they are playing two teams that are nowhere near the elite in Major League Baseball. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays, I don't think, are going to finish anywhere close to 500. And the Minnesota Twins are the worst team in the American League. But, man, oh, man, timing is everything. And just a week ago, folks, we were having a discussion here on this show whether or not Tigers manager Brad Ausmus deserved to get the boot. And what a difference 7 days makes, I guess. What a difference a week makes. This team is completely rolling right now, but it comes at the expense of Miguel Cabrera, who took a ball to the knee yesterday, and Jordan Zimmermann seems to have a problem with his groin. Now, Zimmermann has been clearly the best starting pitcher on this Detroit Tigers team. Yesterday, he had allowed 2 runs on 5 hits over 5 2/3 innings of work with no walks. And then he exited the game after throwing 1 pitch to Steve Pierce. He had retired 12 consecutive batters until giving up a single to Evan Longoria, then left after the ensuing pitch to Pierce. Now, when you look at and evaluate this squad, you know, what's amazing to me, again, before we hit this break, really brief, I want to make this point. What's amazing to me is that, did you know, when looking at the Tigers' schedule this year, there has been only one game where the Tigers put up three runs or less and pulled out the win. That's only happened one time, folks. So they rely, that says two things to me. They rely heavily on what those guys do in that batting order. And of course, that bullpen has not been great. The relief pitching has tossed away so many games, folks. So when you talk about an injury to Jay Zim, and this is going to be the discussion that we're going to have throughout this stretch, throughout this week here on the show. Do you rest Jay Zim right now to ensure that he doesn't, you know, have any more damage to that groin of his? Do you rest him now? Or do you rest him to the point where he feels like he can go out there and throw the baseball and hope that and just pray that no damage ensues as the year goes on? Because in my opinion, hey, if Jordan Zimmermann is not 100%, you have to sit him out until he is 100%. And then Miguel Cabrera, 3-for-3 with the homer. Oh my goodness, he has gotten hot as well. And then also, I want to give a huge shout out to Cameron Maben. Talk about injuries, right? He's just coming back, and in the six games that he has played, his batting average is .600, folks. Cameron Maben has been lights out for this team. The Tigers have Nick Castellanos, of course, the hottest dude in the American League right now. JV, Justin Verlander, Victor Martinez. Again, Justin Verlander, he's only had, three at-bats. So take that with a grain of salt. But V-Mart, Miguel Cabrera, Ian Kinsler, they have a lot of guys hitting over .300 right now. And that's a complete contrast to the tune that we were singing last week. Granted, you're playing some lowly teams, but this stretch of baseball might have saved Brad Ausmus for this year. Folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Taylor Rooks, Big Ten Network TV host, reporter, and correspondent. That and so much more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports.
Current State Podcast is your informative, insightful, and indispensable connection with what's happening around mid-Michigan and beyond. From politics to education, environmental news to healthcare, science and tech to music and theater, stories from around the state and your hometown. That's the Current State Podcast anywhere, anytime at iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever a story develops, the Newsday team will be there.
Newsday's Shaima Khalil in the Egyptian capital.
Thousands of Mohamed Morsi supporters are still gathering here, really waking up to the dramatic events of yesterday.
I'm in the center of an absolutely extraordinary security operation.
Follow the story wherever it leads with Newsday from the BBC.
The BBC on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Snoop Dogg. You know, Snoop Isaac is one of my favorite hip-hop artists of all time. I got to ask, dude, before we move forward here, what's your favorite Snoop joint?
Can be a feature.
It can be anything.
Okay, if it's a feature, still DRE.
Nice. That's a very good choice. Do you have just a single? Just Snoop's single that's at your top?
Let's see. Probably that one we just played, actually, Gin and Juice.
Yeah, that's a hot one, man. That's my favorite as well.
That's all Snoop in concert, actually, and he was phenomenal.
Really? Snoop's like 45 years old, too, man. He's still rocking.
Still going.
Dig that. All right, well, former Michigan State star Morris Peterson and rapping icon Snoop Dogg gathered a collection of celebrities for Saturday's Hoop for Water charity game to give back to the city of Flint, Michigan. Among the celebrities who attendant were Detroit Pistons star Andre Drummond, New Orleans Saint running back and Flint native Mark Ingram, former MSU and NBA basketball star Jay Rich, Jason Richardson, Detroit Lions tight end Eric Ebron, radio personality Sway Calloway, and even Flint rapper John Connor. Now, the Big Ten Network was in the house covering the event, and I tell you what, folks, it's going to air later on. You don't want to miss it. I've seen a few clips on BTN's Twitter feed, and it's going to be off the chain, all right? And among those, during the broadcast, who were in attendance were, of course, BTN host, reporter, and correspondent Taylor Rooks, who reported from the sidelines, and she now joins us on line one. Taylor, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hello. I was super into this once I started hearing Snoop singing, so I've just been over here dancing the whole time.
Right. So are you a big Snoop Dogg fan, Taylor?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Are you a big Snoop Dogg fan?
I mean, I like Snoop. Like, I recognize him as the OG, you know? So when I found out I was going to be doing the game and interviewing him, I was obviously extremely excited for that. So it was definitely a bucket list moment, for sure.
Very cool stuff. And I actually even saw, if I remember correctly, on your Instagram page, Snoop, before you guys even did the interview, Snoop was, he was really into it. He was started dancing, I think, right?
Snoop, honestly, this is not an exaggeration. Snoop never stopped dancing. I mean,
no.
He was dancing when we interviewed him. He danced after he hit a shot. He was dancing at the free throw line. He was dancing when other people were at the free throw line. So it was just a nonstop Snoop dance competition.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
But it was a lot of fun. Yes, he did not stop dancing during our interview. I mean, he answered the questions and stopped dancing a little bit, but he was definitely a dancer.
Oh, man, he's like doing the Harlem Shake as he answers Taylor's questions. I can definitely see that. Oh, man, that's going to be fun.
Yes,
again, folks.
He totally was.
Right, right. It will air later on this afternoon on the Big Ten Network. We'll give you the time in just a second, folks. But first off, Taylor, you know, going to the city of Flint for this event and reporting for BTN, I got to ask you, what was it like for you entering the city and getting a chance to witness the Flint water crisis firsthand?
I think it was an experience that a lot of people should take part in, just going to Flint and seeing what it is like there. Like, for example, one of, like, some people that work with us, they stayed at the Holiday Inn. And at their hotel, the water fountain is, like, roped off and says, do not drink this water. Please come to the front desk. We will gladly give you bottled water. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is something that is still happening in Flint. I feel like when, you know, crises like this happen, people tend to forget once the news cycle that's covering it is over. But if you live in Flint, it's still very real. Just because it's not being talked about on television anymore or in the newspaper doesn't mean that it's stopped. It's very real there in Flint. You know, kids not knowing if they can bathe in that water or if they can brush their teeth with that water. So to talk to the people at Flint, to talk to Mayor Weaver there, and just see all the support from the celebrities playing in the basketball game, it was a very genuine and real and just great experience to see.
Now, Taylor, of course, you were in the house for the event and, you know, many residents of Flint attended. What do you think an event like this does for the overall morale of the city? I'm pretty sure you saw a lot of smiling faces from residents who live right in the city.
Oh, yeah. It was just a fun environment. I talked to Mo Pete about this. He even said he was just to see somebody like Snoop come to your city and show that he has not forgotten about you. Just boost the morale of people. You know, I feel like when we were at the game, people weren't thinking about all the bad things. They were just excited that this was happening. Mm-hmm. So it's more that people of that stature are bringing awareness to your city. They want to come to your city and show you a good time. I just think it brought happiness. And Flint has had to go through a lot, you know, with GM shutting down and the water crisis. There's a lot of economic problems. The middle class there is almost non-existent. I mean, I'm sure it's like that in a lot of places, but they haven't been able to go through times with nothing bad happening in quite a while. So for this to come, I just think it just made people happy. It was just as simple as making them happy.
Got to ask, Taylor, you got the chance to chat with, of course, Snoop and Mo Pete and Mateen Cleave, Sway Calloway. What was the favorite moment for you?
You know, I think it has to be Snoop, just because he's Snoop,
right.
And it was just extremely entertaining. But it was also, it was dope to talk to Sway because, you know, I listen to Sway in the morning and he is kind of, he is, you know, he's a veteran in this business. He's a pioneer in journalism. I think those would have to be the two, but Mo Pete is honestly such a nice individual.
Isn't he? Dude, I tell this story all the time. Yeah, isn't it? I mean, because when we had, you know, Mo Pete, remember the first time I met him, when we did Current Sports TV, and before we take the air for the TV show, I mean, Mo Pete walks in the room and he addresses me like I'm like a family member of his. I mean, he's so nice, isn't he?
He's seriously like that.
Oh, love him.
He is extremely nice. So it was nice to talk to him. It was nice to see how passionate he was. I mean, it was funny. We were all joking because this is so serious. The game started probably like an hour and a half later than it was supposed to start.
On CP time. What we call CP time, Isaac.
Yeah, and we were all laughing about that, okay? But, I mean, one of the big reasons that was, honestly, is because he did not turn down one person that wanted to talk to him. One person wanted a picture. One person wanted an autograph. I mean, like, it took him so long to get to the locker room because he spoke to every single person that wanted to talk to him. But I feel like that's genuinely who he is. He is just a very nice, humble person that wants to give back. So I like all my interviews, but I think Snoop may have to take the cake.
Yeah, without a doubt. I could have guessed that one. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are talking with the one, the only Taylor Rooks, Big Ten Network TV host, reporter, and correspondent. And a quick synopsis of the game, Taylor. I believe it was the Snoop Dogg All-Stars versus Ballers from Flint. And who pulled out? Who do you think had more game?
Yeah, it was like Snoop Dogg's All-Stars versus Morris's, like, I don't remember the name, but it was, you know, something they came up with for the game. And and Mo Pete's team won. But the final 2 minutes were actually really good. Like, I think Snoop's team was down two, and then B-Dot, who is the guy on Twitter that does all those impersonations, like the NBA impersonations.
Right. Oh, he was there too?
Yeah, he was on Snoop's team.
Okay.
He hits a three, I'm not kidding, a little past the logo. Like, it was an NBA shot.
Oh, it's like Steph Curry range.
Yeah, seriously, it really was. So, you know, he probably wouldn't have been able to do it in the 90s. So then he hits the shot. They go up one. Then I want to say, then Mo Pete hit a two. Mm-hmm. They go down, steal it from Snoop's team. They win. But, I mean, it was exciting. The final 2 minutes were exciting. I mean, Mo Pete even dunked in this game. So
wow.
If you think Mo Pete's too old to dunk, he is not. Now, Mateen Cleaves turned the ball over a little more than I'm sure Izzo would have liked.
Uh-oh, Tom didn't like that.
But, it was cool to see these guys still kind of have some game, but... Yeah, on Mo Pete's team, he had all the Flintstones that were in attendance were all on Mo Pete's team.
Oh, that's very cool.
It was, but all the others.
Very cool stuff. Folks, if you want to catch it on the Big Ten Network, it will air at 8 p.m. tonight. Again, you definitely want to check it out. I will certainly have my DVR going for sure. Now, Taylor, when we have first-time guests here on the show, you know, I love to hear the backgrounds, you know, because you get to meet so many cool people in this industry. And, you know, Taylor, you have quite, you know, such a journey. I've always been a fan. I've been watching the Big Ten Network for a while now, and a lot of it has to do with one of my mentors. When I was in college at Michigan State, I graduated in 2012, and one of my big mentors that I still keep in touch today with is Lisa Byington of the Big Ten Network.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Lisa, mm-hmm. Love Lisa, and she was here at WLNS-TV6 when I interned during my junior and senior year. So I tune in all the time, and I see you doing your thing. Taylor, can you sort of give us a synopsis of your journey to the Big Ten Network?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of, I guess, a mix of, I guess, hard work and then, like, really good luck and then opportunity. When I was at University of Illinois, my freshman year, I started this blog where I just interviewed whoever I could, you know, different family members I have that have played sports, people that are from Georgia that I knew I could interview, and I would post them online. I mean, they were awful. I mean, my interviews were not even very good, but, you know, you're just doing what you can to get your blog going. So I did that. Then I started to gain like a little bit more traffic, and if I would apply for credentials to places, people would start to give them to me, so I could get, you know, better interviews on my blog. Then my sophomore year, Fox Sports and Scout.com, they called me and asked me if I would work for the Illinois site my junior and senior year. So I said yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Interned with them my junior and senior year covering recruiting and Illinois football and basketball. And recruiting, I think, is where I started to get a little more known. I broke a lot of different basketball stories in the Chicago area. And then I did BTN Student U, which I think is one of the best thing that journalism students in the Big Ten can do because it gives you such real experience.
Yes, I actually did the Student U here at Michigan State for 2 years. Yes, it's a great
tool.
Isn't it
great?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's great. I'm such an advocate for Student U. And Quentin Carter, who's the executive producer at the Big Ten Network, saw me do one of them and then asked me to start doing reports for like the actual games that go on Big Ten Network, the post-game report. So I did that. And then I graduated school, had no job, and this is it. Graduated in May, had no job, thinking, okay, I'm just going to move back home in August, but I'll stay the summer in Champaign, you know, do what I need to do. And then I'm a really big Drake fan, so I went to OVO Fest.
Nice,
and nice. And when I am, like, in customs, Q calls me. This is the very beginning of August. I was about to move back to Georgia the next week. Mm-hmm. Quentin Carter calls me and is like, we want you to come work here. And I'm like, what? Okay. So that's when I found out I was going to work at Big Ten Network. And it just, like, if I would have graduated at any other time, any other year, I would not have this job. It was just all the timing worked right. And it was a lot of me working in school, interning. So I don't really have like that much to say about where I've been. I've just been to college and my internships and then the Big Ten Network. But
right, right.
I mean, I did a lot in school. But yeah, so here I am now.
Well, Taylor, you do one fantastic job. And you know, when looking at the entire industry, of course, it's certainly male dominated. What do you think is the biggest challenge being a woman in the sports industry, sports broadcasting industry?
I think being a woman, a lot of the time people want to put you in a box. You know, they want to say that you're just a sideline reporter, or we just want to have you on when we talk about certain types of issues. And that's probably the biggest problem. And of course, you're always going to be seen as a woman before you're seen as a journalist. Mm-hmm. It's never an issue if a guy looks good or bad, but it is always an issue if a woman does. Or I'll post, like, if I do a feature, if I'm on air and I'm having a conversation and I post a clip online, all of the responses back to me are about how I look. It's never like, good conversation, or I liked what you said there. It's like, that dress is great, or look at those shoes, or
right.
Look at that cleavage. It's something that is so like ridiculous.
Right.
So I think that's the biggest problem, is just making sure that people like and respect you for your work, and they don't just like you because they think you look good.
That's got to be so frustrating, Taylor. I mean, how do you deal with that double entendre, if you will, and make people look beyond just the surface looks? I mean, because that's got to be so challenging.
Yeah, I mean, this is I sometimes have an issue with that only because, you know, I don't think that there is anything wrong with being good at your job and being a sports reporter, but also recognizing your femininity. I don't think that there's anything wrong with those. Like, for example, I think Carrie Champion does a great job with that. She's amazing at her job, but she is also she's just naturally very attractive. I mean, it's not like she is trying to be, it's just who she is. And I don't think that someone should be punished because of those things. But I also think it shouldn't be the only thing that is looked at.
Certainly. And right.
Yeah, I don't, it's one of those things where, yes, you have to be conscious of what you do, because at the end of the day, you're going to be perceived the way you're going to be perceived. But I also don't really know if it's our burden. You know, it's not our burden to that somebody else only views us sexually. I mean, you know, it's like, you got to think, okay, is it my responsibility to change that person thinks that? Or is that something that they need to look within themselves? Like, for example, when the two women, I think it was Sarah Spain and Julie DeCaro put out the video, the More Than Mean tweets. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't see that. What was that?
they basically, it was two sports journalists, and they put out a video kind of saying all the mean tweets they get as female journalists, and they are bad. I mean, people saying things like how ugly they are, and they hope that they get raped, and they hope that this athlete, just really awful scum of the earth things. And they did a video on it. But the conversation somehow became, you know, how do women change this? But I don't think that it's the women that are the ones that need to change. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the conversation should be, how do we get men to stop doing these things?
That's so true.
And so, you know what I mean? I think it's the same thing with race sometimes. People say, well, how do black people stop this? I think that the oppressed ends up having the burden of stopping the oppressor, and that never is going to work because we're not the ones that need to shift our ideology. So
right.
I don't know. I think it's just more about people recognizing that women are women, but those things that make us women are also the things that make us great. And just because we're a woman doesn't mean we know less than anything simply because we're female. So I think that it'll change in time, but I think it has to be an effort from every single person, and it can't just be an effort from women.
Very well said, Taylor. Very well said. And you're doing a fantastic job. Keep on doing what you're doing, Taylor, because you are absolutely knocking it out the park right now. Again, Taylor Rooks.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Big Ten Network TV host, reporter, and correspondent, Taylor Rooks. And Taylor, before I get you out of here, just brief thoughts, because I feel
don't worry. I have nothing to do.
I caught you on an off day. That's good stuff. But before I get you out of here, Taylor, I want to bring up the potential deal with the Big Ten Network. Well, excuse me, the Big Ten Conference and Fox Sports, because it's notable that Fox Sports and the Big Ten Conference are close to a media rights deal covering half of the available package, and ESPN may be left on the back end of this deal. And it's so intriguing to me because I feel like, you know, every other week, someone is leaving, a big personality is leaving ESPN. I mean, Skip Bayless is leaving for Fox. Colin Cowherd, he's now moved from ESPN to Fox as well. Robert Flores, he is no longer with ESPN SportsCenter. He's taking his talent somewhere else. Mike Tirico is going to NBC. What do you think about the changing dynamic with ESPN getting a lot of competition from places like your network and elsewhere?
You know, I think the main thing for some people from ESPN is I think that they want to have just a little bit more freedom. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that they aren't getting that from ESPN, but when other places allow you to really go out of your box and allow you to have a little more, you know, poetic justice over the things that you want to do. But I also think I think sometimes the conversation has become like, oh no, ESPN is in trouble. And I am one of the people that think ESPN is going to be just fine. I mean, at the end of the day, it's ESPN. There's always going to be somebody that wants to go to ESPN. There's always going to be, honestly, you'll talk to some players, whether it be professional or collegiate, and to them, a game being on ESPN means so much that just that brand name in itself, they're going to be fine. I mean, it is definitely weird and going to be odd that, you know, Skip Bayless isn't going to be there, that, you know, now Michael Tirico is going to NBC Sports. There's definitely a lot of moving parts, but I think it's more that right now it's a shift in media. It's a shift in the kind of things people want to cover, and it's a shift in the way that they want to cover it.
Yeah,
and
that's
maybe
true.
For some people, they feel like ESPN isn't shifting quick enough. And I'm sure that eventually they will, but like I said, I feel like when you're ESPN, you can be ESPN and still be okay.
That is so true. I tend to fall on your side of thinking when having this conversation as well, Taylor. I mean, at the end of the day, we are talking what I like to call the mothership, right? The worldwide leader. So
yeah. They'll
adjust, right? All right, Taylor. Well, let's get you out of here. Taylor Rooks, Big Ten Network TV host, reporter, and correspondent. Taylor, we got to get you on in the near future. How's that sound?
Yes, anytime. As long as we were playing good music in the beginning, I'm down.
We'll have some Drake. The whole show, next show, Isaac, all right? Drake,
yes,
views, all
Drake.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much, Taylor. Take care.
No, thank you for having me on. Have a great week.
All right, you too. All right, listen to our second break. When we come back, folks, we will put a bow on today's current sports by hitting you with weekend winners. Don't go anywhere.
From local issues.
If Lansing Township doesn't pay, the county is on the hook.
To national impacts.
I never went into the show thinking that I would win the show. The thing that I, what was always on my mind was kind of maintaining integrity and doing what I do.
WKAR's Current State focuses on Michigan. Current State daily on 90.5 FM, AM 870, always at WKAR.org.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished talking with Big Ten Network TV host, reporter, and correspondent Taylor Rooks. If you happen to tune in late and didn't catch it, of course, we post each and every Current Sports radio show on our website at WKAR.org. Usually about an hour after we get off the air, it's usually on our website. So you can check it out there, that and any episode that we've done in Current Sports radio history. Well, 5 minutes left in the show, and you guys know each and every Monday, we love to take a look at the weekend that was in the sporting world and beyond and bring to you our weekend winners. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's going on.
All right, it is now time for weekend winners. So who had the best weekend in the sporting world? I am going to start with U of M softball, folks. Salute to Carol Hutchins and her stout Wolverine team. They're good every single year, folks. They were the national championship runner-up, for goodness sake, last year, falling to Florida in the College World Series. But hey, new year, new day. And U of M continues dominance, folks. The number 2-ranked University of Michigan softball team registered a pair of early solo homers, broke out with a 4-run fifth to beat Notre Dame 6-2. They now move on to play Missouri, and they will host that matchup. Missouri is the winner of the Columbia Regional. So congratulations to Carol Hutchins and her squad, but hey, there's still plenty more work to do. Also, again, the Lakewood softball team winning the softball classic Friday night at Rainey Park, 10-9, 14th inning, Sierra Stopker. I'm sure she had a fantastic weekend, folks, because she rode high with that game winner to give Lakewood the Vikings that win over the Panthers. So salute to them. And also, hey, the Detroit Tigers, as I mentioned before we hit our first break, the Tigers right now are rolling, and I do believe that this lollipop recent schedule that they've been playing has truly saved the job for Brad Ausmus throughout the rest of the season. The Tigers are winners of, what, 6 of the last 7 games. They're riding a hot streak right now, even though they played the Tampa Bay Rays and the Minnesota Twins. Not great teams, but at the same time, it's not who you play, it's if you get a win over them. So, hey, congratulations to the Tigers. Of course, they now move on to a series against the Phillies. They welcome the Phillies to Comerica Park tonight at 7:10 p.m. Mike Pelfrey's on the mound. This is a dude who has not gotten a win yet this year with a 5.49 ERA. I'm not choosing the Tigers to win tonight, but at the same time, they're playing pretty good right now, Isaac.
Yeah, my weekend winners, I'm going to stick around local, too. I'm going to go Michigan State baseball going to the Big Ten tournament. I was at those games, actually, and great time
weekend.
Covering them.
Bad weekend for MSU baseball, wasn't it?
But at the same time, they got the win when it mattered most. They needed a win to cinch it up, and they got that. Dakota Mex, the closer, went 6 innings in that game, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and he was excellent. Fred Heumann actually covered both that and Lakewood, so a 27 total inning day for him.
Oh,
that
my
was
goodness.
Fantastic.
Well, you know, Fred, my pal, my Uncle Fred, man, he loves some baseball, dude. So I'm sure he was riding high, even though that's not work for him, trust me. All right. Thank you so much, Isaac, and thank you guys for listening out there. Much thanks to Taylor Rooks. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Have a great afternoon. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Be easy, people.